Today, we'll talk about recent entertainment cuts and discuss if Galaxy's Edge is a failure. That's coming up on this episode 226 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 226. This is a little bit different of an episode because we are going to talk about recent news and things that I normally do not discuss. But before we do that, let's do normal reminders and add one to it. My normal reminders are to follow on social media because I like to talk to you outside of this platform where it is a one-way street. So on social media, look for WW Prep School so that we can chat there. But also, I would like to add YouTube to the list. I normally say Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, but YouTube is back. I have had videos over the years off and on, but it takes a while to figure out the workflow and how to fit it into the schedule. And how are you going to do it? What's the style? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. That is one of the trickiest parts of this job. But I'm back, and the first video in a while just went up, and they will be weekly. For now, they're going to be once a week, and just like the podcast is once a week. My hope is to eventually increase that to maybe twice a week, and but we'll see. But for now, it's going to be once a week. I'm excited about it because I like any sort of content creation that allows me to teach. Like, I'm just really obsessed with teaching things. And that's just another way to do it that is very visual, obviously. But with a lot of things coming up, I can't wait to share the visuals. I mean, there's Galaxy's Edge. I've recorded a Galaxy's Edge video and it's being edited and posted next week. And that's fun to be able to share that kind of footage and talk about tips for that. And then, like, I'm going to be there at Disney World September 29th when the gondolas open. And I'll have footage right from the parks that'll be uploaded pretty quickly so that you guys can see them. And I can talk about how to use the gondolas. Epcot Forever is starting on that trip. I will be documenting things like how to use Magical Express. And so, you know, we've written articles about it. We've talked about it on the podcast, but sometimes there's nothing like seeing it. And so now my trip plans include video footage, and I can't wait to have that all published for people that enjoy YouTube videos. I am one of those people. I watch YouTube videos and listen to podcasts more than any other type of media. I don't even think about turning the TV on unless it's Apple TV to watch YouTube videos. So I'm excited. It's sort of like the podcast was started 6 years ago because I love podcasts. That's, you know, there was no deep thought beyond that. Just, I love podcasts and I like teaching, so let me do a podcast. And as you know, I almost have never had ads or anything. There's no direct, like, monetization strategy. It's just, this is a thing I like doing and it's working for me, so let me do that. And so, you know, YouTube's another thing. I love YouTube and content creation and teaching, so it's just a great outlet for that. Along with that, for the YouTube videos, I had to get some new equipment to make things, you know, look nice. And I also got new equipment for the podcast. So this is my first podcast recording in this way. And so we'll have to see how this sounds. We are making adjustments and sort of increasing the quality to make things sound a little more professional. So we'll see how this one goes. Let's see. Any other housekeeping things? I don't think so. This is going to be a totally different episode than normal. One of the reasons I do not normally talk about negativity or news or disappointments or criticisms is not that I don't think they're valid. It's that I don't view my role as that. You know, I just mentioned I love teaching. And so I really view my role as helping people understand what is, not what could have been, what should have been, what used to be, that sort of thing. I do appreciate that there are people that do those things, though. I read them frequently. I am aware of, you know, lots of different viewpoints. It's just not my role or my strength to be, you know, sort of the arbiter of what should or shouldn't happen in the parks. I much prefer to just take in what is and pass that on and sort of package that in a way that helps you plan. But sometimes when the noise gets loud enough, it's worth talking about. And so that is what today is about. First of all, I want to talk about Galaxy's Edge, because ever since the Disneyland version opened in May, there have been lots of news articles, lots of people on Twitter, lots of people all over social media that have talked about it in sort of extremes. Some people have talked about how great it is, but others have talked about what a failure. And so then along comes the Disney World version in August, and people thought, well, this will be different. This time, there will be crazy crowds, long lines. It will be a major success for Disney. And it launched, and it was very much like Disneyland. The first day was super busy, and then after that, not so much. Having a hurricane show up did not help things. But there has been a lot of discussion about if this means that it's a failure. And I kind of just want to, you know, mention my viewpoint on this, which is that as a product, as an execution, the land is not a failure. So if you are planning a trip, I would not be afraid of the crowds, first of all. I know that has been a concern before it opened, that it would be crazy and that you should skip it. First of all, I wouldn't be scared of that. But secondly, I would not dismiss it either. So if you have ever heard, you know, is it a failure or people disappointed, I think it is worth a visit if it is of any interest to you, because I think it is the best thing to come to the Disney park since I've been going on a regular basis for the last 15 or so years. It is incredibly immersive. It is gorgeous, and it's only going to get better because there's another ride that is coming very soon. So I don't think it's a failure in terms of the product. I think the rollout plan was a failure, but long term, I think that it is going to be a huge asset for both Disneyland and Hollywood Studios and contribute to long-term success. Disney just needs to sort of course correct and figure out what they did wrong on the rollout to bring people back to the parks so that they aren't empty and we'll get going again. Which brings me to the next topic that I want to talk about today, which is entertainment cuts. So as they have built this expensive new land, they also have decided to cut some entertainment throughout the parks. Namely, several dance parties are being cut, and that includes like in the Incredible section of Hollywood Studios, that includes the Lightning McQueen section of Hollywood Studios. And again, these are just the dance parties, not all of these sections, just the dance parties. And there are some dance parties at Animal Kingdom, but basically there's several dance parties that are included. But the two things that have gotten the most attention and the most reaction for the cuts are the Muppets at Magic Kingdom. And the official name is The Muppets Present Great Moments in American History, which is in the Liberty Square section of Magic Kingdom. And the music that is in the Africa section of Animal Kingdom. The name is, I believe, pronounced Burudika. And I actually never knew their name because I never imagined them not being there. To me, them not being in the Africa section and always providing that ambiance and music and spirit of that section of the park was like taking, you know, the Tree of Life out of the park or something, you know, not quite that dramatic, but they were just part of the park. And so it never occurred to me to look up their name or their times because I kind of took them for granted. I love them. They always draw a crowd, and they provide fantastic atmosphere in that section. So Burudika, these cuts are all within the next couple of weeks or so. And so I wanted to take a chance just to talk about it, because it is unfortunate that they are being cut for sure. But I wanted to share some opinions. I told you I am aware of the various voices of people who have these opinions, and I wanted to share some of the more thoughtful ones that I have come across. So this is going to be a story time with Shannon as I read other people's writing and comments online about some of the entertainment cuts. The first one I'm going to read is from Mouse Hacking. It's a man named Ken who wrote this, and he runs the website Mouse Hacking, which provides a lot of planning information that overlaps with stuff that we do. But they also do like travel with points and miles and things like that. He wrote this on Instagram. He said, I was in the middle of writing a post about entertainment cuts, and it dawned on me while I was writing that Animal Kingdom had to be next, and I had to prepare myself for it. I took a quick break and decided to visit Twitter, where I saw a rage tweet, and I knew it had happened, literally as I had been writing about it. Standing at Dawa Bar and watching Barutica was the moment I knew I had a passion for theme parks. 4 months later, I started my site, and now I write about theme parks full-time. That moment stays with me, and it's reflected in almost every post I write, from lengthy lectures about how great Animal Kingdom is, to itineraries that contain loads of afternoon entertainment, to drinking guides that insist your beer be paired with a live show. I'm privileged to be in this line of work, but it doesn't mean that every day is fun. 5 days at the parks for me is mostly work. One thing I've always enjoyed is the entertainment in Harambe. Theme parks traffic in deception. Gigantic dark boxes concealed behind facades, and once you're inside, only seeing what the park shines a light on. It's effective escapism, which is what we're paying for. But streetmosphere is different. Even if the performers are playing characters, at the heart of it is the honest interaction between you, the performers, and the other guests. Harambe is an amazing spot because it brings guests together. Thank you, Joe Rohde. Barutica is an amazing band because in a world where people spend hours face in phone trying to get a Flight of Passage fast pass, they could make people stop for a second to sing and dance. Dance and song is one of the oldest forms of communication. Before we spent billions on roller coasters and giant screens, we had dance. And it has persisted because it was so simple and so effective at connecting us. Fun is easy. To borrow a phrase, throwing a tennis ball can be fun, but thrill isn't much more difficult. But when a space creates a human connection, it has done something profound. It's a shame to lose sight of that. So I appreciate that thought, and I agree with how important they seem to this particular part of Animal Kingdom. The other cut that I wanted to read something for is The Muppets Present Great Moments in American History, and talking about the cuts in general. So this is from Tom Bricker, who you may be familiar with. He runs Disney Tourist Blog and has fantastic information. He says, The Muppets Present Great Moments in American History is not why anyone is booking a trip to Disney World, and it probably doesn't rank highly among anyone's favorite or trip-defining experiences. However, when it comes to a Walt Disney World trip, the whole is more than the sum of its parts. It's the little moments, the ambiance of the parks, the live musicians you pass, the way everything just feels alive, that cumulatively absolutely does define a trip. First-time guests may not be able to put their finger on exactly what resonated or made them feel happy at any given moment, but it's all of this in its totality. First-timers who fall in love with the parks and become lifelong fans are not doing so because they view the park simply as a collection of rides. Live entertainment and the little quote-unquote unnecessary things are part of what makes the parks feel lived in, and those acts you might walk past seep into your mind and do move the guest satisfaction needle. Disney used to recognize this, delivering a level of entertainment that surpassed guest expectations and offered a litany of surprise gems to stumble upon. In large part, I think Walt Disney World still aims to exceed expectations, albeit on a more epic and less charming scale. Star Wars Galaxy's Edge and Pandora are both spectacular, and other upcoming additions look very promising. What concerns me is the smaller stuff, especially that which is deemed superfluous, expendable, or can quickly save on labor costs. These smaller things are just as integral to the overall guest experience. As upset as I am about the Muppet Show being cut, I'm willing to take a wait-and-see approach to see what's announced next, while still being worried that Walt Disney World is preparing to trim as much fat as possible to make quarterly results look better. The problem with that is if you trim too much fat, you start to hit bone. Attendance woes become a self-fulfilling prophecy, especially over time. Cutting part of what makes the park special only further alienates longtime fans, while also making first-timers less likely to fall in love with the place and become lifelong fans. That's far more detrimental to the long-term health of the parks than an off quarter or two because of the botched launch of Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. So, great thoughts there. If my voice is cracking, it's just because I have allergy issues, not because I'm crying, although it did sound like that for a second. I wanted to share one more viewpoint on the subject of entertainment cuts. This one is far more sort of analytical and quantity-based. This is from someone who has worked in theme parks and in the industry and has maybe an explanation for why it might happen. This is, I'll put a link to all these people in the show notes if you would like to go and read the text of what they have written. And to give them credit, since I am reading their writing on the podcast, this is Chris Meets World on Twitter. He is like the chaotic good of Diz Twitter, in my opinion. He's not afraid to raise a little ruckus in the name of calling people out on their bad behavior. He says, a quick and dirty primer on theme park crowd levels, perceived value, and a possible reason why entertainment is being cut. When working with in entertainment and ops management at Universal Orlando and graduating from Rosenhaus Hospitality within the theme park track, I learned a kind of startling thing about the guest perceived value metric. This part is not so startling. When it comes to guests perceiving their value as good or bad after purchasing a ticket and spending the day with your product, it really comes down to how many experiences they had. The more experiences they had, the better perceived value. Duh, right? This satisfaction trickled down into other important metrics. The guests would say they were likely to return, likely to recommend their product to others, etc. So they put a lot of stock in it. On the flip side, the less experiences the customer had, the worse perceived value. You know the rest. Unlikely to return, unlikely to recommend to others. Bad. Obviously, major park operators do a ton of research to come up with proper targets and goals. And back in 2007, there was a target experiences per guest goal they wanted to hit at Universal Orlando, which would result in positive perceived value. Want to know what the target number was? 3.5 experiences per guest. Can you believe that? It blew my mind. It seemed so low. But in general, if a guest did at least 3.5 things, they would say the value for the price they paid was good. That is wild. Most major park operators have these targets, and while I'm not privy to them, I imagine for a regular daytime park experience, the target experiences per guest number is much higher. But this is a pretty clear-cut reason why you see entertainment get added during spring break, peak summertime dates and holiday periods. The parks are swollen with people during these times. Lines are long, and even with extended operating hours, guests would ultimately get to see and do less if you didn't add more experiences. Enter from stage left, entertainment. The ideal solution to enormous crowds who want to see and do more in your park. Entertainment can be popped up, slotted in, and tailor-made to solve this dilemma. Yes, guests regard the street shows, character meet and greets, and pop-up entertainment offerings as experiences. Adding them during periods of high attendance is a no-brainer because they're oodles cheaper than building a new attraction. And here's the most important and painful part. They can be removed when attendance subsides. Does this business rationale make the loss of any beloved entertainment less hurtful? No. But if you read some tweets and you get the impression that Disney is working themselves into a shoot by cutting entertainment experiences and diminishing value for guests, on the contrary, the light crowds are increasing perceived value for all guests because they are able to do and see more. They are easily hitting that target experiences per guest number. For now, it's a bummer, but when massive crowds return, you'll see new or previously eliminated entertainment offerings come back too. I suspect we haven't seen the last of the Muppets at Magic Kingdom. Long story short, it's not an evil executive twisting his mustache, trying to squeeze out every last penny. Rather, it's a pretty predictable business decision for any park to make. Not that it makes it any less of a crappy situation. So, interesting thoughts on that. You know, you've got the emotional side of losing favorite things, and then you've got the sort of analytical, business, practical side of why that might happen. I've been getting messages asking me how to complain. I will include the email for guest relations if you're interested, but I'm just going to tell you right now, I've never seen or rarely seen anything happen. Closures have happened a lot, and there are a lot of factors that we don't know that go into these decisions. So in general, I think you have to be sad about them and move on, but you're certainly welcome to voice your opinion at the information that I've included in the show notes. So that is about the entertainment cuts. Incidentally, that last thing that I just read where he said, I suspect we will see the entertainment coming back. I have gotten messages from cast members that said exactly that, that they have been told by their managers at Disney that these things are being cut, but also they could come back when things get busier. So that seems very likely to happen. I don't know if that means just the dance parties. I don't know if that means Muppets. I don't know, you know, how many of these things could come back, but it is, there's a good chance that they will. So that is that. I wanted to finish with something a little bit personal. I don't talk about personal stuff very much, as you know. I used to do it more. And one of the things that I used to post every year on my daughter's birthday was this Facebook post that I wrote in 2014 because somebody had asked me if they should do more than one princess thing during their trip. And so I thought, as a person who has kids that are grown, I wanted to just share a perspective on what I would do if I were to start over. So my daughter is getting married this Saturday, and it's very happy. She's marrying a very nice person, and they've been together for years, and she graduated from college a couple years ago. She has a career, and now she is marrying the person that she's been with for 4 years. So it's all very happy, all good stuff. But, you know, obviously a huge milestone to have your child get married. And so I wanted to revisit this thing that I had written so many years ago on Facebook because I started the website when she was a junior in high school. And one of the reasons I started the website was because she was going into her senior year and I was so, so sad because I had had her young and so we kind of grew up together and I couldn't imagine, I'd never lived without her. And so I just thought, how am I going to deal with this child leaving? Like, obviously I wanted her to leave and go to college and have her own life, but I needed to come to grips with it my own. And so I started the website because it had been a long, long dream. And I thought this would be good as a nice, like, productive distraction from the fact that she is leaving. And so here she is, you know, graduated from college. Now she's getting married. So we are many years into this. And I wanted to just sort of rework the thing that I wrote on Facebook to do it just because she's getting married and it's a big milestone and a good reminder for those of you who are a little earlier in the parenting process. So here is what I wrote, and this will be how we close out this episode and before we get to the quick tip and close out the episode. Okay, so here we go. Can I get personal for a minute is how it started. About 25 years ago, I was a science math tech nerd in the honors program majoring in computer engineering when I found out I was pregnant with my daughter. Not only was it a challenge to be a single mom at that young age, but my daughter is completely different than me, and it took some getting used to. Before I knew it, I was immersed in everything pretty and pink and princessy. I later graduated college and got married, but we were young and didn't have a lot of money to spend. We worked hard to pay off our debt and save for our first house, and by the time we could afford to go on a Disney World trip, she was a Disney adult at age 10. Since then, we've done plenty of princess things like eating breakfast with the princesses, and we even did Beauty Body Boutique together once because they used to allow adults. Go ahead and laugh at the pic. I will link to it in the show notes. It's ridiculous, but we were making up for lost time. But those early years when she was little and at her peak of princess obsession were gone. So when people ask me, should I do a princess meal? Should we try more than one? My answer is always yes. Do as much as you can afford to do because they grow up fast. They'll love it. You'll make good memories. And when they're grown, like say 24 years old, a college graduate and getting married, you'll be glad you did. Even if you find yourself feeling silly for being dressed in a Belle costume to do it with them. So feel free to click over to the pictures and the show notes if you would like to laugh at our Beauty Body Boutique experience. But now she looks like the princess instead of being the one dressing up as a princess and meeting them in the parks. So that is that. I do want to share a quick tip as always before we wrap it up. And this quick tip is related to Be Our Guest and is a reaction to an issue that people have alerted me to. Be Our Guest restaurant at Magic Kingdom is quick service for breakfast and lunch, but you can pre-order up to 30 days ahead of time. And the benefit to pre-ordering is that when you show up, you get pointed to a different line where you get to pay and skip the ordering line. So it saves quite a bit of time. You have heard me say it a million times on the podcast. If you've been listening for a while, pre-order, pre-order, pre-order. But people lately have been saying that their pre-orders are not being honored, basically. And so my quick tip is to, first of all, make sure you're pre-ordering at least 2 days in advance. There seem to be more issues with pre-orders that are closer to the dining date. At least 2 days in advance. Secondly, when you show up, make sure you let them know you pre-ordered so that if they do have a separate line for pre-orders, that you are put into it. Thirdly, be prepared for the fact that they may not. So, you know, we've been talking about budget cuts and low crowds and different things, and it's possible that right now the crowds are just so low that they don't have the staff available to man those, you know, separate queues, and that they'll bring it back. But in the event that they don't have the separate queue for pre-orders, just be prepared to wait a few extra minutes. So I think that'll wrap up this episode. For links and to a lot of the things that I talked about in this episode, please look in the show notes of your podcast app, or you can go to the website, www.prepschool.com, click on podcast at the top, and scroll down to episode 226. Until next time, I will see you on the site.